Welcome back, everybody. This is Eric here with IWriteVeteran8888. Today, we've got another gun gripe episode for you. This is going to be called Don't Forget the Farmers. Yes, it's gun-related. We are going to get into it. There's many things, but I've got a very special guest with me here today. This is Mr. Will Beatty with Bear Creek Cattle Company, and he is an amazing dude. We've known him forever. He's a great friend of the channel, and he is one hard-working dude.
Well, thank you, Eric. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, farming is definitely something near and dear to my heart. It's what I do for a living, and it's going to be a wonderful opportunity to be able to share kind of what we do and the way I view the industry with your audience.
Absolutely. And, you know, the reason that I say it's gun-related is because it's sort of one of those things that errs along the vein of conservative values, right? When someone thinks conservative, I know it's a stereotype, but what do they think? They think rural person, hillbilly, Bible thumping, meat eating, you know what I mean? Gun owning, truck driving, you know, it totally errs into the stereotype of your industry and what you do. And the reason that I feel it's gun related is because we look at Virginia, right? And we look at all the stuff that's happening with Northern Virginia and the big cities. And this is not just Virginia, but many states where the big cities tend to really swing these local elections a lot when it comes to the state level elections, right? And all of these large population centers, because they have so many people in them, they sway the vote a certain way, and then the rest of the state has to suffer at the wrath of some big city. And then a lot of the politicians, which, you know, I'm not going to get too far down this rabbit hole, but recently in Georgia, Stacey Abrams just lost. Okay, this last time around, a lot of these politicians will come out and go, oh, well, we don't need farmers, or, you know, they don't care about the rural vote because they're people that wouldn't vote for someone like me anyway. And it creates a situation where folks like you and I could even consider myself a rural person in terms of living outside the city, where we get disenfranchised and our vote seemingly doesn't matter. At least we have the perception that it doesn't matter. And we get put in the situation where it's like we're just trying to exist and live our life the way we want, and we're subject to all this crap that's happening around us.
Well, you know, and stereotyping is the most dangerous piece of all this. You know, some of the statements are you shouldn't have to choose agriculture as a career. Well, I take offense to that. I did choose to go into agriculture. For an example, you know, on the surface, I could be easily stereotyped as that uneducated rural guy that, you know, all I could do successfully in life was grow some grass and let cows eat it, producing beef. However, the reality is a vast contrast to that. I've got a 4-year degree from the Citadel Military College. I was a business analyst in the computer software industry. I was a state law enforcement agent. I worked for a communications company. And then I chose to go into agriculture. One of the reasons that I wanted to go into agriculture is part of the educational process of the public, not knowing where food comes from today. But there is a sector of people that are trying to gain more knowledge. They're becoming more knowledgeable about their food. And I want to be someone that's producing a healthier product. You know, that's why we have our Instagram and our Facebook. For us, we differentiate ourselves from the large commercial factory farms because you can see me out there every day birthing calves, chasing bulls, you know, all the crazy stuff to the minute stuff that we do, but it's real. It's behind the scenes. You can see it. You know, cartons of milk, you don't know the story behind where that milk came from. You know, unfortunately, there's a segment out there that believes that milk is made in a factory, that it doesn't come from a cow. You know, they don't put two and two together. And there are a lot of people that don't realize that the burger that they eat in a restaurant or the steak they consume came from an actual animal. And I know that seems, you know, kind of humorous to some viewers that may be watching, but that is a serious reality.
Yes. It is, and I believe that there's sort of a dual-pronged aspect to that statement, and the other part of it is that I believe that people get to a point where they are so jaded by their existence, they become complacent, right? And we live in a society where lots of things that we need desperately to survive, we're not fighting for survival like we did hundreds of years ago. or even, you know, not that long ago. I mean, look, my grandfather lived through the Great Depression and used to tell me a lot of stories about how he'd go to school hungry and come home hungry. And, you know, they have to find a way to survive and come up with food. So it wasn't that long ago that we were fighting to survive, but we've created this culture where everything is just this prepackaged and perfect song and dance of logistics that we get the benefit of not having to think about where things come from. If we're hungry, we simply go to the restaurant and order food. If we're hungry, we simply go to the grocery store and buy ingredients, and we go home and we make our food and we're none the wiser. So when society gets to a point where you are no longer needing to survive, okay, you now get to become a logical megalodon. You get to pursue art. And you get to pursue things that don't involve you having to chase animals with a sharp stick. But it doesn't mean that there aren't a sect of people in our society who greatly care about and understand the importance of our survival and farmers equal survivability for our country, right? We've got so much farmland. A lot of people don't realize how much farmland there is in our country and how important farmers are to our overall society, okay? And not only the physical survival of our society in the form of providing food and goods and meat and things that we need to survive, but also staying true to humankind and what we've done over the course of many, many, many years to survive. Keeping that survival instinct alive is super, super important. And I think everybody should visit a farm once or twice and see what these folks go through. So I've been out to your place before. And you go and you drive down this hill and you kind of come around a turn, and then there's just big open field opens up. And there's the cows out there hanging out and doing their thing. And you got this real pretty, like, little kind of creek, what do you call it? A brook?
Creek.
Yeah, like a little creek, you know, like a, not a river, but like, you know, a creek that runs through the middle there. And the water is just so clear. And it's just so cool, you know. It's almost like going back in time a little bit. Like, you just don't picture that when you live in a city and you don't see that stuff every day, you take it for granted.
Yeah, and you know, that was a definite byproduct of the original intent that I have in getting into farming, was to protect the land. The situation was, I lived at that residence for 8 years before I owned the remainder of the farm. I had the opportunity to buy the rest of the land, and then I got into the cattle business to help offset the cash flow. And, you know, given the ability to protect that land and to improve it for future generations was very critical to me. But, you know, firearms and farming, you know, there is a stereotype of the rural guy, you know, and he's got his old granddaddy's shotgun. You know, well, us in modern day farms, you know, I am definitely a firearms enthusiast. We promote that even on our business page, and I'm very clear to make sure that we state we are not a political organization. So Bear Creek Cattle Company is a beef producer. I don't get into politics. Firearms is one thing that I deem is not political. It's the Second Amendment. It's the constitutional right that everyone enjoys. It doesn't matter your race, your economic background, your sexual preference, your gender. Everyone has the right to have and bear arms. So that's why we also include firearms and outdoor-related entertainment stuff on our Instagram and Facebook, and we openly talk about that kind of stuff. But the reason we actually depend on firearms. You know, when you visited, one of the things that we did was coyote hunting. The reason we coyote hunt is predator control. We have young calves that are born, and if we don't keep the population in check, and there's no true natural population check for coyotes, they're just running rampant, then we lose babies. And, you know, I've posted pictures before, you know, with a coyote that we've taken, and I've gotten some negative comments from time to time because of that. And all I can say in response is, if I were to post, which I wouldn't, the photo of the deceased calf the night before, you know, everybody would be in joy that we were able to naturally take care of that. But, you know, we're very much supporters of the firearm industry. That's why I became involved with Eric, and But, you know, it's not just, it shouldn't be a stereotype that just because, you know, we're a farmer, just because we like guns, doesn't mean that we're a certain type or certain political affiliation or certain, you know, walk of life. That's the key point.
Yeah, or doesn't mean you're a bad person. You know, that there's so many stereotypes out there. And I love what you said about the Second Amendment not being a political thing. I've always felt that way. And I know there's so many people on our channel that wind up saying, well, Eric, why are you making all these political videos? Why is everything so political? Or they'll say, oh, another political video, whatever. But the thing is, it's not political. I don't make it political. There are people that politicize our rights against us, and they turn it into a political argument. But, you know, the language in the Constitution, as it refers to the Second Amendment, is the most clear language in the entire document. It says, shall not be infringed. That's pretty stark right there. I mean, you can't take that any other way. It doesn't say shall be regulated. It doesn't say shall be used as a political bargaining chip. It says shall not be infringed. So that's pretty clear constitutional language that I view as being a non-political thing. The founding fathers weren't saying, oh, well, only farmers should have the Second Amendment, or only this person or that person, or this race or that race, or this sexuality or that sexuality, or male or female. No. It's everyone's right to protect themselves. And I believe truly, you know, out of all of the rural people I've met, and of course, I mean, I'm from Georgia. Of course, I've grown up in quite a few rural areas and spent a lot of time in rural areas as well as the cities. And I can say that I have yet to run into a single person in a, you know, backwoods grocery store or gas station or meat market or wherever I go, you know, I've yet to run into a single person that took me in the slightest way as having a single air of meanness to them. Not a single person. You will go out in rural areas and you will find the nicest people that you will ever meet in your entire life, especially in the South. Now, I have to toot the South's horn a little bit here. All right, I feel like folks from the South are just universally nice. You know, that there is a such thing as like Southern gentlemen. And most of the time, you know, you're going to run into some folks in the South that are awesome people. You're never going to have a single issue. But I will say this, you don't mess with our family. You don't mess with our guns. You don't mess with our money. You don't mess with our dang cows, right? No. And you're going to be okay. As long as you don't do that, we'll give you the shirt off our back. Yeah. And I think that people tend to unfairly, negatively stereotype Southern people in that way, when really the stereotype should be, wow, that guy's nice. Like, why is he so nice? Yeah, it's so weird.
Well, and one of the things that I see happening across America is the population. So rural life is a harder life. There's a lot of manual labor to it. You have to worry about predators. You have to worry about all of the different things. It's more self-sustaining. Because typically, just like we're, you know, we have multiple farms, but where I live and where you visited, you know, if you forget milk, it's 20 minutes to go back right to the store. You know, so you have to be prepared where you live. It's a harder life. So that is, by default, gearing society to move to more urban areas over the generations. And the urban areas are increasing in population, and that's affecting the voting nationwide. But the thing that I would like to remind folks is the rural population still matters. A lot of times, those are people like myself, and the poultry farmers, and the row croppers. These are the people that are already struggling to produce food, to get food to you, because as an industry, and this really goes across all industries, we're going to larger and larger production. It's becoming conglomerates. You know, you've got, you know, Amazon is huge now. Everything is direct to home. Larger and larger has put the small mom and pop shops out first. Well, it's doing the same thing to the farmers. Because now it's bigger and bigger farms. They're controlled by groups. They control the cattle prices. The big box distributors control the pricing because they've got the mega gorilla bucks behind them, and they kind of set the price, and you're trying to play ball, and here you are producing a Porsche, and they're selling their product at Pontiac price, and you know, right. you have to compete, so margins become slim. At the same time, as a small farmer, you have such a capital strain. It is not inexpensive. I don't care where in America you live, but especially in northern Georgia, we have a large area that's growing from tourism and folks want second homes. Land is very pricey to buy large farms. So you've got all this capital expense going into your land, your equipment. You're trying to work hard and turn a profit, and it's just a difficult industry. So what we ask of America is to remember the small people. You know, I know it's so easy to go online and just click, click, click and buy from one of the larger producers or one of the shopping centers, but remember the guy that's out there that's actually producing the product that creates jobs, that puts their money back into the economy to help folks like you, and remember us. And come to those type people to buy your products, because really, for us to have a full cycle, whether it be agriculture or other industry, we have to continue to remember those people that are putting the entrepreneurial spirit and the American dream to work, or capitalism will eventually go away.
Agreed. I couldn't have said it any better than that. And I think it is important to support folks that support you. And, you know, there's tons of mom and pop farmers out there, Will included. And I will say this, shameless plug, of course, but he has some of the best meat you will ever eat. If you want to try his stuff out, definitely go and order some. It is totally worth it. His steaks are thebomb.com. They are excellent, okay, because he puts love into what he does. And I'm not just saying that because he's my friend and he's here on this video, but it is important that we support the people that support us. So, like, you know, if you have an opportunity to buy a product from someone that's pro-gun and openly pro-gun and that supports your way of life and supports your culture, that's what this is all about, right? Voting with your feet, voting with your wallet, right? There are lots of ways that you can fight back against the establishment, which openly hates our way of life, by supporting the people that do, you know, help your way of life. And without tooting my own horn, I will say that, you know, we wind up in a very similar situation where, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of places to buy t-shirts and hats. There's plenty of places to buy merch. There's plenty of people you can support. But people support us because they know that our message resonates with what they do in their everyday life and that we care about the everyday person. So I think it is important to not only support local farmers, but to support local business, period. You know?
Absolutely.
Or else the competition is going to go by the way of the wayside, right? And the whole capitalistic nature of what made our country so awesome and what continues to allow average Joe like me to do what I've done and allow you to, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps and do what you do, that entrepreneurial spirit will go by the way of the dodo, and it'll just be brand A cattle, and you just go in the store and that's it. You know, just one person makes the beef, and of course they're going to chase profits. They're not going to care about the quality. They're not going to love the animals. They're not going to care about the animals. You know, I feel like, and maybe I'm talking out of turn here, but I feel like a happy cow is going to taste better. Like, you know what I mean? You got to make sure they're happy.
It's a proven scientific fact. As a matter of fact, in our industry, when we take, let me start with the life cycle. Okay, so everything that we do is low stress on the farm. And that's for a reason. One is for humane reasons. We love the animals. You know, many of the animals are born right there on the farm. You know, myself or one of the folks that work with us at Bear Creek are out tagging the calves. We watch them grow. We've known them their whole life. So, you know, just because we love the animals to start with, we take better care of them.
Yeah. It's a sacrifice. Ultimately, you're sacrificing an animal so we can all live, and that's tough, you know?
It is. And, you know, we want to maintain that low stress all the way through harvest. And the way we harvest the animal at the end is by Dr. Temple Grandin's methodology. And if you're not familiar with her, there's a great movie with Claire Dane that plays Temple Grandin. So you ought to check it out. But she was autistic, and she developed a way to see it through the cattle's eyes. She would actually get down on her hands and knees and watch the way cattle think, because in the commercial industry, it was all these horrors that you still see in the documentaries, you know, screaming cows and stress and everything. So the facility that we use takes those principles into account and keeps the stress extremely low. Why? Not only for humane reasons, but just as you touched on, it actually makes the beef more tender, because just like a deer, if for those of you that hunt, you're very familiar with a running deer that's taken. It's got all that adrenaline flowing through. It'll make the meat tougher. And the same thing with the cow. If they're stressed and they're freaking out, they've got high levels of adrenaline and it goes in the meat. We actually call them dark cutters. It'll change the color of the meat itself. So that is a real fact. But he touched on, with the plug to reach out to us, and I appreciate it. That's certainly not the reason I came on. So if you don't choose to follow us and support us, find someone that you do trust and that you can try their products, because, you know, supporting the small farmer out there is, again, what's going to keep capitalism going and make America great. If you choose to support us, you can follow us at Bear Creek Cattle Company on Instagram. Also, in the link above in our description, we have a link to Shop HQ. We've been very fortunate recently to have the opportunity to go on national television monthly, and we're selling coast to coast. Now, the great benefit of that is all the customers we have come across and have followed us and supported us over the years, the difficulty was always getting the product to them if they didn't live locally and weren't able just to drive and get the product.
Logistics are a bear, aren't they?
Logistics are difficult, for sure. Well, now we've got all of that figured out, and through the wonders of Shop HQ, we have the product produced. It's the same great product. It takes us 3 years from pasture to plate. So this isn't something that we're pulling off a shelf just because we've reached a new opportunity or a new level for us. We're producing the product. We have it housed in Atlanta. The beef is born, raised, processed, and shipped from Georgia. So it never leaves our local area until it arrives directly to you at home. But you can go to shophq.com, search for Bear Creek Cattle, and you will actually pull up our online store, or hope to see you checking us out on Shop HQ. We're on the TV show called The Sizzle, typically once a month. So,
all right. Well, I know what I'm going to be doing. Look, I definitely want to take a moment to thank you for being on the video here with me today,
Will. Thank you. It's been an honor.
And I really appreciate you taking really good care of us over the years. You know, Will is a very kind man and has taken good care of us in terms of making sure we got you can tell I eat well. But not only that, I have to brag for a minute. When we have range day, he does the burgers and the food, and it is so amazing. Like, we get so many compliments about his food, and it's been really great. But I wanted to make this video because I thought it was important for people to understand, like, you know, what the rural man goes through, right? You know, Will, to me, represents that wholeheartedly. There's so many stereotypes, and unfortunately, they're negative stereotypes that are perpetuated against Southern people. And I feel like it's unfair when, you know, a lot of us have a very strong work ethic. And to us, it's not uncommon, and I can say this, Chad can say this, everybody in this room can say this, that a 14-hour, 16-hour workday is not uncommon. You know, 8 hours, ha, that's a joke. 8 hours, that's nothing, right? I haven't worked an 8-hour day in forever. And the entrepreneurial spirit and the spirit of being self-employed, you want to work hard. You want to put in the hours because it's a struggle, and you just want to be so enamored in it. And it's such a special way to live. And I hope that people understand where rural folks are coming from. And I know politically, I don't want to get off on this vein, but a lot of the big population centers in the States, you know, want to tell everybody else what time it is, and they want to make the rural person's life not matter, right? Oh, well, they live out there, they're a small population center, they're irrelevant, we're going to pass all these draconian laws that affect these people, and you know what? Screw them, because they're not going to affect us. That's the wrong answer, right? We all have an equal stake in making this country a great thing, and making sure that future generations have the proper tools in hand, not only knowledge, but physical tools and the know-how to carry on for our survival. And farmers are an integral part of that.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I appreciate all the kind comments. You know, one of the greatest parts of getting to know you and being a part of Range Day are all the great people that you bring in from all over the nation for the event. And the thing that keeps me coming back to support you guys is all the comments that everybody gives every year, because that's truly why farmers like myself do what we do. It's not for the money. You're not going to see a lot of, you know, wealthy small farmers out there. It just takes so much to produce the product. You're lucky if you make a profit, you know, and going back to the work ethic, you know, nobody ever said farming was easy, especially being a cowboy and raising cattle. And, you know, I make the old joke when somebody says, you know, I had a hard 40 hours this week. I'm like, I remember my first part-time job.
Dude, it's 100% you
know?
True.
You know, but, you know, it was definitely an honor to be here today and to be able to bring, you know, just a little bit of insight. You know, I didn't want to go way off in a rabbit hole and trying to educate people on how to become a farmer, or, you know, the, you know, sound like I'm, you know, I know it's gun gripes, but I don't want to sound like I'm griping about what I do, because I certainly choose to do this. And that was really the initial point of this whole thought process. Oh, yeah. Is that, you know, these big politicians say that you don't have to be in agriculture. Well, I choose to be in agriculture, and I make that choice every day. And folks like you out there supporting all the small farmers and the small business people across America will help make that choice easier.
Outstanding. Well, guys, definitely thanks for watching today's video. We hope you enjoyed it. And all of our folks that are listening on podcast, thank you for listening. In case you guys don't know, Gun Gripes is now available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, many of the podcast outlets. And also make sure you check out our new Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit podcast. That is a podcast that Matt and I do together from Ballistic Inc. It's excellent. Make sure you check it out and share it with your friends. Subscribe to us. Please leave us a nice review on there. We would be most appreciative. And definitely check out Will's business. I mean, Bear Creek Cattle Company is a wonderful family-owned business. If you want to buy meat, buy it through Will. You'll be happy you did. So thank you guys so very much. And many more videos on the way. And you'll be seeing more of Will. He's around. So maybe we'll get out and do some, you know, gun videos as well. So thank you very much. And we'll see you guys next time.